Well, Lord, the temple is our bodies. And Father, we want your praise to fill us up. And Lord, as the message is about to begin, I pray, Father, that you keep this room nice and quiet, that your word will go forth with power, and Father, that souls will be saved here today. And I really have the strong feeling that there's someone here today that just feels so lost. And I pray that this message will encourage him to repent and to come to you today. And Father, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. For this day belongs to you and all that's in it. Thank you once again, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Speak through us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, this is Todd Dunn, so I want you to be nice and quiet. Listen up to this important message he's got for us.
Thank you, Judy. Well, good morning. Are we happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Are we happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Let's make sure this thing was working.
Sure the mic was working there.
Yeah, I had to make sure it was working. Well, I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. This song was just awesome because his praise fills the temple. This is the temple of God. This, our body, is the temple of God. And is the praise that we have filling our temple, the praise for the love of Christ, is that filling our temple this morning? If it isn't, I would just encourage you to set aside all your cares for the next 20 to 30 minutes and listen to what God may have for you. Because we're going to be talking about some things today that we don't normally hear mentioned from the pulpit. And we're going to talk about prostitutes. Uh-oh. We're going to talk about the Vietnam War. Some things that we don't normally talk about. So I'm just going to encourage you today, if you're heavy-hearted, if you got stuff going on in your world that's really causing you stress and grief, I would just ask that you would just set that aside for the next few minutes and have an open heart and see what the Lord may speak to you this morning. Because I believe He will speak to somebody this morning. I believe He speaks to somebody every moment of every day of our lives. But the problem that we have is we don't necessarily hear Him speaking to us. Amen? So we're going to come from the book of Hosea this morning. And if you brought your Bibles, I just encourage you to turn to Hosea. We're going to be in chapter 1. But today's message, obviously it's Valentine's Day, so we're going to talk about love. Ew! Love. But not an ordinary love. We're going to talk about the love that only God can supply. You see, no human can comprehend God's love for His children. Our limited experiences of human love hinders us from understanding God's love. God's unconditional love for us. You see, when we think of the word love, we talk about, I love my sports team, I love pizza, I love coffee. But God's love is, I love something so much that I would give up my love on a cross for those that don't love me back. So that's what we're going to talk about today. God's unconditional love for us. See, in the book of Hosea, Hosea was a righteous man, but God called him to do something that no one would have anticipated doing. God called him to marry a sinful woman. And this woman, name was Gomer. She was a very sinful woman. She was a harlot, as the Bible tells us. Harlot meaning prostitute. So God called Hosea to marry a prostitute. Hosea obeyed God. He took Gomer as his wife. He cherished her. He treated her with dignity and respect. Never before had Gomer experienced this kind of love. Listen to what Hosea 1, verse 2 states. That when the Lord began to speak to Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry. See, he's telling him, go, take this woman as your wife. We just talked about God speaking to us and us not listening. Gomer was a sinful woman. Hosea was a righteous man of God. Now picture that, the men of God in here. Picture any single men of God in here? Amen. Picture you get a revelation from God, and he tells you that you need to go marry a prostitute down on Exchange Street. Would we listen to that? Would we be obedient to what God has to say? Or would we just shrug that off as somebody else? See, Hosea didn't do that. He was a man of God. He knew that God was speaking to him when he said, go marry this woman. See, but Gomer, she never experienced that kind of love. He cherished her, the Bible says. But what happened? Gomer soon grew dissatisfied. She began giving her affections to other men. So she got involved in adultery. She finally abandoned Hosea altogether. The other men used her until she had nothing left to give them. And then they sold her into slavery. That story in itself is amazing. She had everything she could possibly want. She had a man that cherished her. She had a man that loved her. A godly man that obeyed God, even when what God told him to do didn't make a whole lot of sense. He obeyed. She got tired of it. And she went seeking love elsewhere. But then something amazing happens. God gave Hosea an amazing command. Amazing command. He says where it says in chapter 3 of Hosea, verse 1, then the Lord said to me being Hosea, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. The woman that was sinful, the harlot, God told Hosea, go marry. She obeyed God, or he obeyed God. He followed her. He cherished her. He loved her. She had had enough and went on seeking love elsewhere. And then what did God do? He told Hosea again, go get your woman. Common sense says what? I ain't doing that. They can have her. What she did to me? But no, Hosea didn't do that. What did Hosea do? He followed God's command. Despite the intense pain and hurt that Gomer had inflicted on him, God told Hosea to forgive her and pay any price to get her back. God's message is clear. When we reject him and turn our devotion elsewhere, our rejection carries that same pain as an adulterous betrayal. Those that have come to Christ and have walked away from Christ are committing adultery to God, just like Gomer did to Hosea. He brought us into his marvelous light. He brought us from the depths of hell. He healed our pain and suffering. We walked with him and then decided, well, you know what? I've got other things I should probably do. After all that God has done for us, it is incomprehensible that we should reject that love. It's even hard to fathom God could love us even after we have rejected, ignored, and disobeyed him. Amen? When we take that commitment to Christ and we turn our back on him because we have other things that are more important to us, whatever those things may be, God feels like we've cheated on him. God feels like we have committed adultery with him, because we have. When it comes to following God, we need to do what God told Hosea to do. We need to love. Seek that love at all costs. Seek that love of Christ with all costs. And what's the cost going to be involved in that? Probably loss of friends. Probably people going to call you a nutbag. But it's worth it, because the love of Christ is all that we have to live for. I can't imagine how God could love us sometimes. God's love is completely different from ours. We just talked about that. I love pizza, but that doesn't cherish the love that God had when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. His love follows us to the depths of our sinfulness until he has reclaimed us. His love is unchanging. We're the one that changes. His love is undaunted when we run from him, but he continues to pursue us. What incredible love he has demonstrated to us. He continues to pursue us even though we turn our back on him, even though we don't want anything to do with him, even though we blaspheme his holy name, he still pursues us. So here's my question. Do we treat God like Homer or Gomer treated Hosea? Do we treat God that way that, you know what, I got extreme love right now when we're saved, but our love just seems to fade? His love doesn't change, but we put him on the back burner and we start pursuing other gods. Those other gods can be alcohol, pornography, drugs, adulterous affairs. We seek other gods to fill that hole that may be in our heart. And instead of putting all those other things in front of us that will go away, we completely ignore the love of God and we put him on the back burner and think that we can fill that hole with something else. When we ignore God, his heart breaks. If we could realize the sacrifice that Jesus had made for us, we may think a little bit different. But I don't believe we put that importance of what Christ did for us into perspective as we should. You know, we hear that every Saturday morning down here about what Christ did for us, but do we believe it? Do we put that into perspective? Do we really believe that the love of Christ will save me? Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's a powerful statement. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you're having trouble putting that into perspective of what that actually means, let me read you a little story here. It says, during the war in Vietnam, a young West Point graduate was sent over to lead a group of new recruits into battle. He did his job well, trying his best to keep his team from ambush and death. But one night when they had been under attack, he was unable to get just one of his men to safety. The soldier left behind had been severely wounded. From their trenches, the young lieutenant and his men could hear him in his pain. They all knew any attempt to save him, even if it was successful, would almost certainly mean death for the would-be rescuer. Eventually, the young lieutenant crawled out of hiding toward the dying man. He got him to safety, but was killed before he could save himself. After the rescue man returned to the States, the lieutenant's parents had heard that he was in their vicinity, wanting to know this young man whose life was spared at such a great cost to them. They invited him to dinner. When their honored guest arrived, he was obviously drunk. He was rowdy and obnoxious. He told off-color jokes and showed no gratitude for the sacrifice of the man who died to save him. The grieving parents did the best they could to make the man's visit worthwhile, but their efforts went unrewarded. Their guest finally left. As the dad closed the door behind him, the mother collapsed in tears and cried. To think that our precious son had to die for somebody like that. That's a powerful story, isn't it? That's what Jesus did for us. That's what it says right here in this verse in 5:8 of Romans. Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. No different than what that lieutenant did. He went back to save just one person. The sacrifice that lieutenant made was giving his life to save that one soldier that didn't care about anything. When he goes to visit the parents, one would have thought he would have had a little bit of respect. He wouldn't have came drunk. He would have been extremely nice and polite and courteous. But no, it said he told obnoxious jokes. He was off-color jokes. He was drunk. What does that say about the man that gave his life so this man could do that? Well, it's the same thing that we have in Christ. Christ gave his life for us, yet we still come to him drunk. We still disobey his word. We still tell off-color jokes and are obnoxious because we don't understand the sacrifice that was made, nor do we just don't care. Christ died for us while we were still sinning. Not once our good deeds had outweighed our bad ones. Not once that God saw that we were basically a good person. While we were still sinners. While we had not the slightest interest in him, but while we were helpless to save ourselves. The highest expression of human love is the willingness to die for someone we find worthy. Usually that worthiness is based on that relationship that we have with that person. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your kids or your parents or your best friend. You know, some of us wouldn't have a problem taking a punch in the face for, you know, my brother or my son. Some of us wouldn't have a problem going out there pushing somebody out of the way of a car that we loved and getting hit ourselves. But would we do that thing for a stranger? Would we do that for an enemy? Somebody that doesn't like us. Somebody that doesn't care if we live or die. And we see him walking across the street and a bus has come barreling down. And you know he's about ready to get peeled. Would you push the guy that you don't even like out of the way and take it yourself? Or would you sit back and watch the guy become roadkill? That's the question we need to ask. Because Jesus Christ pushed us out of the way. Jesus Christ took that bus for us. Jesus Christ died on that cross for us. For those that don't care about him, for those that ignore him, for those that do not want anything to do with Jesus Christ, doesn't change the fact that he still died for that person. God sent his son for the unworthy. See, that story is exactly what Romans 5:8 means. I mean, someone who loved a soldier who felt responsible for the life of another gave his life for the unworthy. So who's the unworthy? I'm the unworthy. Anybody else unworthy in here for God's love? That's awesome. We got 15 people here that are unworthy of God's love, but everybody else is perfect, sinless, and holy. Come on. Who is unworthy to receive the love of Christ? But we can come to him. The unworthy, the me, the you, the all of us. We're all unworthy. But all that God asks for us is our love for him, our worship, our devotion to him. That's all he wants from us. But what did he give us for that? He gave us a human life in Jesus Christ. God gave the ultimate gift. The ultimate gift to us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." It tells us here, that God so loved the world. Who is the world? The world is me. The world is the guy on death row. The world is your neighbor. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, we are going to live somewhere for eternity. And we get the option to choose whether it's here in Christ's bosom, with him forever and ever, or it is totally separated from the love of God in hell. We get to make that choice. Christ, when he died, he made a choice. As he put his arms up on the cross, and he was chastised, and he was beaten, and he was nailed, and he was whipped, and he was scourged, and he was made fun of, and he was humiliated on that cross. He could have come off that cross. But he didn't. Do you know why he didn't? It wasn't the nails that kept him on that cross. He was the Son of God. It was his love for us that kept him on that cross. Because without that love, we're destined for hell. Without that sacrifice of the Lamb of God, we are destined for hell. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. John's gospel tells us the night before he died in John 15:13, the greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. Christ gave his life for each one of us, each unworthy person that's in this building. And all we have to do is realize that and say, you know, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. But we don't do that. We like to go out there and be like Gomer did. You know what? I feel the love. I know there's love here. I know God's loving on me. But I'm just going to go seek that love elsewhere. And what happened? That love's going to go away. The same thing that happened to Gomer in the book of Hosea. It's the story tells us that men were using her and abusing her after she had left the man that loved her. The same thing with God. When we leave the love of God, people are still going to use us and abuse us. The only thing that can keep us whole is Christ in our lives. And we need to realize that. If it's true that the ultimate expression of love is to give up one's life for others, then the cross is the ultimate demonstration of God's love. Have you ever thought, yeah, right, God loves me? Prove it. Prove it. Well, I can prove it. It's right there. If you wonder if God loves you, get into the Word of God and see what He says about the crucifixion. Better yet, go rent the movie, The Passion of the Christ. If you want to see how much love that Christ has for each one of us, watch that movie. The depiction of the crucifixion, I can't even believe that it shows all of what it looked like on that day when he was on the cross being tormented. The pictures in the movie were extremely graphic. They're extremely hard to watch. Some of the family councils that were, when that movie came out, were saying, you know what, you shouldn't be showing that. That is just too graphic. But you know what? We need to see that because we need to put into perspective what Christ did for us when he bled to death on that cross so people can ignore him, so people can turn their back on him, so people can blaspheme him. That doesn't change the fact that the gift that he gave was for all of us. But like any other gift, it's not a gift until somebody receives it. I can come over here with this, whatever this thing is, all day long and give it to my brother over here and offer it up. The gift is there, but if he doesn't take it, it's really kind of worthless to him. The gift is there. All he has to do is take it. He chooses whether he gets the gift. The gift doesn't change from the giver's standpoint. Salvation doesn't change because we refuse it. Salvation doesn't change because God says, here, my son is going to die for you. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to seek and save the lost. Here is the gift. Now the question is, what are you going to do with that gift? Are you going to ignore it? It's still sitting there. It's not doing Reverend Cloyd any good until he picks it up. That's why we preach salvation down here so often. Salvation means nothing to you until you accept it. It's out there. He's given it away. But we have to take it. Luke 5:32 says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want sinners to repent from their sin. I want them to seek me, to have that relationship with me. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack. The Lord is not slow on his promises. He promised that if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. It says here, he's long-suffering towards us. What does that mean? He's very patient. He will wait for us. He will wait for us to make that call. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, Christ has waited on us to turn to Him. He is a patient God. But there is going to come a time when He is not going to wait anymore. And that time will be when it's our time to leave this earth, or when He calls His church home. At either one of those moments, God's patience is gone, because we have the option every day of our life to get right with God. So here's my question for you. Will you turn to Him today? Will you take the free gift? Will you take it and use it and live with it? Or will you do what my brother's done and just leave it sitting there on the table? Scripture is very clear on what happens to those that leave the free gift on the table. He's also very clear of what happens when we accept that free gift. Romans 10 and 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. And I'm not going to finish verse 13 quite yet, because we have that opportunity to get real with God. I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to wind the message up. So just pray with me. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who without Him, Lord, we are destined for eternity out of fellowship with You. Father, we ask right now in Jesus' name that those hearts are stirred up this morning, Lord, that You would just convict them to seek You. We know Your Word says that when we seek You with all of our heart, we will find You. Father, we ask now in Jesus' name that those that are on the fence, Lord, to decide whether they need to follow You or whether they just need to leave the gift on the table, that You, Father, would convict them. You would speak to them right now in these moments. Lord, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for salvation. And I thank You for saving a sinner like me. Lord, we know You are the Almighty, the Creator of life. And Lord, You want to give life. Give it abundantly. So, Father, we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not finished yet, so don't get up yet. It tells me you weren't listening, because I told you I wasn't done. So let's get back in our seats. Let's show a little reverence to the Lord. Thank you. Let's go back to Romans. Verse 13. Says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. It's not the good people. It's not the bad people. It's not the rich people. It's not the poor. It's whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the question this morning is, will you call on the name of the Lord? Will you humble yourself enough to admit that you need a Savior? Will you humble yourself enough to say that I'm a sinner and I need You in my life? Will you humble yourself enough to take that free gift of salvation? These next few minutes, we're going to have the altars open. We'll have some men of God up here that would love to pray with you. And if the Lord has spoke to you this morning, I would just ask you not to take that prompting of the Lord casually. If the Lord is speaking to you right now saying, you know what, there's just something that's being stirred up in me, I would encourage you to act on that. Because as I started my message with, God speaks to us every moment of every day. But the catch is, do we listen to Him? Or do we get so busy in our lives and everything that's going on in our world, and we not hear Him? I just ask you today, do not leave this place today without knowing where you're going to spend eternity. Scripture tells us we are not promised another day. today is the day of salvation. Amen.